Blog Talk Radio.
If you want groceries in your basket, be with Newt. If you want food upon your table, be with Newt. If you want jobs, 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 and prosperity, be with Newt. Be with Newt. Proud of America, be with Newt. If you think we're exceptional, be with Newt. We are a shining city on a hill. Be with Newt, be with Newt, be with Newt. If you want to win the future, if you want to save America, be with Newt. A president with real solutions, be with Newt, be with Newt, be with Newt. A 21st century contract now with Newt. A contract with America, be with Newt. Newt Gingrich is the man with a plan. Be with Newt, be with Newt, be with Newt. You lead us the right way in the USA. Newt Gingrich, we will win and make America great again. Be with Newt, be with Newt, be with Newt.
Hello, folks, and thank you once again for coming to Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the Conservative Conversation and part of the Patriots Journalist Network. You can find the Patriots Journalist Network on Facebook if you are a Facebook user, simply by going to the chat or the search engine and typing in Newt Now, which is NEWTNOW. And you could find multiple shows, including this one, on there. And you will also find Mark Prasik's show, which is live video chat. And you can also find Charlotte Dively's Pray USA, Samuel Samford's 1 million person march to Tampa for broker convention, and you can also find Rex and Tech's show. Now, I don't go over the times of these shows because this week we have special coverage of the convention in Tampa, and you will find Samuel Samford's show being on at 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., and these are all Eastern times. And then you can find Mark Prasik's show. That is going to be from 8 until 10. And then, of course, Bard's Logic, a political talk, will be from 10 o'clock until midnight. And then after that, we will have Rex and Tex from midnight until 2 a.m. So that's almost 8 to 9 full hours of coverage of the Tampa convention. Now, what we're going to do tonight is continue our live coverage from Tampa, and tonight we'll have updates of the day's events and up-to-the-minute developments from the 2012 Republican Convention, and that's going to cover commentary, debate, analysis that you probably will not hear from the mainstream media or so-called conservative media. And also special tonight, we will have a update from a reality check from Ben Swan, and so we will be looking at that tonight because he interviewed both Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney on the he had a sit down with Mitt Romney and actually Paul Ryan and asked why the RNC stripped the main of its delegates, and plus he says on his Facebook also, plus Romney's RNC power grab. in which I'm trying to slip between on the stations here, between the show and the station that Ben Swan is on, so I could give as live as I can report of what I believe is going to be his elaboration on that interview with Mitt Romney. Now, we have a couple callers on hold that I will let in. And then shortly afterwards, what I'll do is I will play the clip of the interview. I believe it was at least part of the interview. And I'm just going to let all three in. And let's see, going by this, it looks like 504 was the longest on hold. And then 571 when 504 is finished. You could chime in, and then 360, we could do that as a beginning, and then what I could do is just say hello and let you know who you are, and then we will proceed with the audio of the reality check RNC power grab. So, gentlemen, first 360, then 504, and then 571 if you could chime in on, you know, who you are tonight, and then we'll proceed with the clip.
I'm the guy that's going to say that Romney flat-out lied, that he did not know about what was going on at the RNC. You saw the clip. I just watched it, the link you gave me. Oh, man. Just like when Newt was on stage in Florida and he said, you know, the whole issue about knowing that what your super PAC is doing, and they showed Romney lied right there on stage. But I guess that doesn't matter. It's Romney. Obama's got to go. I understand. You know who this is.
Right.
Sorry,
that's
go ahead.
Chris.
I'm sorry, Robert. I'm hot tonight. Okay.
Oh,
I'm
that's
done.
Okay. It's okay. 504, what's on your mind?
Hi there, Robert. This is Colleen Porter, and I wanted to thank you for playing Be With Newt, my song.
You are very welcome. Thank you for turning me on to it. And you know, show me the way to find it. So I really appreciate that.
Great. Listen, well, I've got a lot of people down in New Orleans listening to you now. Of course, they're waiting for the hurricane, you know, since it's bypassed Tampa, but it looks like it's going to hit New Orleans. So I've told a lot of people about the show, and they're tuned in. As a matter of fact, my mother's listening to you right now.
Great. But great. Well, hello, Colleen's mother.
And her name is Joyce. Right.
That's my mom's name, too. Hello, Joyce. I hope you all enjoy the show tonight.
Yeah, and Mom used to sing on the radio. So, hi, Mom. Anyway, well, listen, let me let you go, and we'll be listening to the show from now on, and go Newt.
Okay, definitely. Thank you very much.
Bye, honey.
Well.
Okay, well, 571, what's on your mind?
Hey, Robert, it's Rex. I haven't had a chance to see the clip. I've been picking up some emergency supplies because I got locked out of Vince Priebus's penthouse, but Tex is in there. He's chilling, and I'm trying to get a message to him. So I got a grappling hook here. I'm hoping I can climb up the balcony and signal him so he can let me back in because we got a lot of work to do. But I haven't had a chance to see the clip yet, so I would like to hear. You know, I just heard from Chris that Romney denied that he knew what was going on. That's just ridiculous. But I haven't seen it, so I'm kind of curious to know what happened.
Well, that's Romney for you in true Romney form. So, well, here you go, folks. Here is the clip, the RNC power grab.
Just days away from the Republican National Convention, and Governor Mitt Romney and Congressman Paul Ryan spent Saturday campaigning in Ohio. As part of that visit, Romney and Ryan sat down with Fox 19's Ben Swan to talk about Medicare, welfare reform, and energy. It's an exclusive interview you'll only see on Fox 19.
Governor, let's start with you. Let's talk a little bit about this energy policy that you're talking about. You were in Hobbs, New Mexico, and you shared a little bit about this idea of energy independence for North America by 2020. Can you explain how that would work?
Yeah, pretty straightforward. There are about five or six things you have to do, but one is to take advantage of the energy resources we have in this country and stop the war against coal, stop the effort by the federal government to try and insert itself into the regulation of fracking technology, that's natural gas, open up drilling offshore as well as onshore. And one of the key components is this. states have been regulating drilling and energy in their borders for years and years and years on state land and private land. But the federal government is just slow as molasses. I'd have the states manage the permitting process even on federal lands.
Let's talk about states for a minute. You all have hit the Obama administration pretty hard on this gutting welfare reform issue. But in 2005, you were one of those Republican governors who was asking for more leniency within the states and to give them more authority in determining waivers for work permits and what that would consist of. Shouldn't states have more authority when it comes to welfare and work permits?
Actually, I'm all in favor of states having flexibility, but I'm not in favor of having states reduce work requirements. And in my state as governor, I consistently pushed our legislature to add work requirements. Mm. They didn't always go along. But the right course with regards to welfare, yes, is to give states more flexibility. I'd actually like to turn welfare over to the states. But what I don't want to do is have the work requirement taken away, and that's something the president's done. I think people recognizing taking work out of welfare through any means is the wrong way to go.
President Obama's been blasted for the $700 billion right. that he wants to take from Medicare and put it into Obamacare. Under the Ryan budget, there's a substantial amount of cut that would take place in terms of savings. Is that not?
Yeah, no, so that was what President Obama did to Medicare. What we say is don't change Medicare for people in or near retirement. They already put their retirement plans around it, but you have to reform it for our younger generations if you want to keep it intact for the current generation. The problem is President Obama damages Medicare for the current generation of seniors, treats it like a piggy bank for Obamacare, and then it still goes bankrupt for our generation. And we're saying reform it for the next generation so it's there when we retire, and it's a plan that works like the one I have in Congress.
Let me ask you also, Congressman, about the Todd Akin story has been all over the news. Obviously, the media, there was no doubt as soon as the words left his mouth, he was going to get hammered and beat up for what he said. And I think most reasonable people would agree that while they may not agree with his position on life, that he misspoke in what he said. Why did you not stand up for him, knowing him as well as you do?
Well, I do know Todd. I think his comments were absolutely outrageous, indefensible, and it's difficult to see how they were taken out of context. They were just wrong statements.
But no, so, do you believe that he intended what he said?
Or? Well, I'm not going to get into his intentions. Only he can answer that question. We just think that for the sake of himself and the country and the fact that we need to win the United States Senate to get things done, it's probably in his interest to not to continue in the race. That's our opinion. We made it clear to him, but he's going to run his campaign.
Governor Romney, we have about a minute left here, so let me just ask you, in a couple of days you're going to receive the official Republican nomination in Tampa, weather permitting, but it looks like it's going to happen in Tampa. Yesterday, the RNC chose to remove the entire Maine delegation from being able to be seated as a part of that. Do you believe that that is the right step for the RNC to have taken, considering the fact that these people were elected, they're Republicans who were elected by Republicans to go and represent the state of Maine?
You know, I haven't seen the inner politics of what's gone on, and I'm not going to comment on the RNC's decision. I really haven't looked at this. Frankly, I'm focused on campaigning across Ohio today and talking about a message of getting more jobs, more take-home pay, and better schools. I'm sure that the convention will work just fine. We'll have a lot of delegates there. We're going to get the nomination. I'm not worried about that in the slightest. And all of the internal politics and squabbling, that's kind of part of the normal political process at conventions. But we'll come together, nominate Paul Ryan and myself, and we're going to go on and take our campaign across this country. And I think people recognize 4 more years like the last 4 years is unacceptable. We need new leadership.
Okay, folks, and that being said, I have, now that I'm going to be piping in from my place here, the reality check. I believe that he will be elaborating on what you just heard. But let's find out.
Tonight we're taking a look at Governor Mitt Romney. I had an exclusive opportunity to sit down with him one-on-one this weekend. What he has to say about the RNC stripping delegates of their credentials and why some GOP leaders say that he just committed the biggest power grab in Republican Party history. What happened? I'll tell you in reality check when we come back.
And as we... Okay, folks, well, I guess that's when they come back. But I did see that on there, so I wanted to... open it up just in case he went into details, but it looks like after more commercials they'll be doing so. What I'll do here is keep my monitor open so I can, monitor for when they come back to do the reality check. So for the gentlemen or ladies, if you're on, if you would like to chime in on what you just heard. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, nobody else jumped in. Everybody's talking at the same time.
I think they're just stunned by what they heard about Romney just being completely.
Oh, he didn't know anything that's going on in the RNC. He has no control over anything. That's all internal politics.
Quick, Chris, I just let two other people in, which I believe was Tex and Sammy. So I just wanted to let them know that their mics were open. I just had to turn on the monitor so that other people could get in.
I started talking. I realized my mic wasn't live.
I apologize, guys. I apologize.
All right.
But there you go. I got to get back to the TV monitor so I can bring it to you when he comes back with the reality check.
Yeah,
go
so I'm just tuning in. I actually woke up from a short nap up here in Ryan Priebus's office, sleeping on the couch here, and then Rex is throwing rocks at the window, woke me up. But what's the deal with Romney? He says he doesn't know anything about Maine?
No, he doesn't know anything about anything that's going on in the RNC currently. You know, rules changing, Maine or the other six states of delegates that they've dumped, that they've unseated from Ron Paul, which is, I think, I don't know, it's 250 or 300 delegates. They've now unseated across five or six or seven states. He didn't know anything about that stuff. And he doesn't know about his lawyer, his super lawyer, trying to give all the power of the country and the RNC to him alone. He doesn't know about that either. Let's see, what else doesn't he know about? The broken bones and, what, six cases? You know, the usual.
Real quick, were you guys able to hear that when it's live on the TV? Were you guys able to hear that fine?
You could turn it up a bit if you can, Robert, hear it.
I will.
It's just a little thing.
Sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say, as far as him not knowing about these things, look, Romney was a CEO for a long time. He was a good CEO, and like any good CEO, he has no knowledge of what's going on in his organization or how it works or operates or what's happening on an operational level. He's busy up in his office with those metal balls that hang from the chain, and you hit one on one side and one comes out. That's the Mitt Romney CEO. He's playing with those balls in his office. And what's going on in the RNC, he doesn't know that. You know, that's how good CEOs get things done.
Well, it's like his investment portfolio. He doesn't know that he had money in Fannie and Freddie. He doesn't know that he had money in China, who had money invested in Iran oil fields. Because, I mean, it's all in a blind trust. You know, he didn't know any of that stuff. I mean, Romney is not a control freak. I mean, you got to understand, he has one thing he wants to do, and that's save this country. Right?
Absolutely. He's focused on like a laser beam. And if he's got to break a few bones and, you know, destroy a few political parties, I mean, never mind.
Mitt Romney just wants to get Barack Obama reelected. So don't be fooled about that BS.
It's going to be a hot night, gentlemen.
Yes, it is. I can't wait to hear what they've got to say, especially when we're talking about the power grab, that there's, you know, folks out there, you know, talking about a power grab.
You know, if I was Ben Swan, and I haven't been over to his site since earlier today when we were on the show, and it was climbing to over 500 comments, you know, just going into the post on his interview. Somebody's got wind going.
Yeah, we
got
to get rid of that wind, guys.
That was happening earlier. But, hopefully that's not the wrong kind of wind. But, you know, the only thing I would have done different if I was Ben Swan is I would have talked about all of the states and all of the delegates that have been illegally unseated, because that would have been even 50 times more powerful. And I wonder why he was so soft on him just with the Maine delegates, because the previous interview, you know, the first link you put on the other show, Robert, was the one where he was talking about a little bit more of all the things that they have done, you know, because Ben Swan and Rachel Maddow at MSNBC are the only people who have really gone in depth on the election fraud, the issues with, you know, all of it from the beginning. And I think he was a little soft on Romney personally.
Well, you know, I kind of thought so too a little bit, just because, you know, I was wondering, you know, if there was more. Maybe that was just, you know, a little clip of it, you know, but perhaps I could be wrong. But I do, let's see here. As I said, I'm flipping back and forth trying to multitask because I want to bring the reality check is live. They're just going over the weather right now, just local weather. So nothing about any storms going going
by there. Any hurricanes or anything to stop the convention tomorrow?
Well, it depends on how you define hurricane. You know, apparently these days we define an afternoon shower as a hurricane.
the skies are clear. I mean, it's nighttime, but you can look up and you can see open sky above Tampa right now. So I don't know what they're talking about.
Have you seen any Have you seen any armored vehicles rolling around? Sorry.
Not yet.
Sorry, Robert.
We saw a helicopter
go ahead.
Down the beach earlier, but it wasn't painted black.
Yeah, I'm wondering what that emergency is going to be to shut down the convention tomorrow.
Well, who knows? It's already been planned. But the interesting thing to me is that they were still talking about the weather. Actually, I just heard it on the local at 9:70 a.m. The local Fox affiliate. They were talking about that the current modified schedule. Oh, go ahead, Robert.
Excuse me, folks. I think they're talking about reality check again. So I want to go ahead and bring this in. Okay. And I did turn it up. So hopefully this will be better for you.
National convention is underway in Tampa. Tomorrow, nominations will be placed for the Republican nominee, Mitt Romney. But it isn't without some controversy. And today, that controversy began to spread to big-name Tea Party leaders. Saturday, Ben sat down exclusively with Governor Mitt Romney and Congressman Paul Ryan. He asked them about
the
process for the Republicans coming a little bit unraveled. This is a reality check. You won't see anywhere else.
To say the Republican National Convention is a mess would be a huge understatement. We told you last week that the entire state of Maine was stripped of their credentials because they were going to vote for Congressman Ron Paul and not for Governor Mitt Romney. As a result, Maine's Governor, Paul LePage, is boycotting the RNC. Saturday, I was given an exclusive opportunity to talk with Governor Romney and Congressman Paul Ryan one-on-one. The interview that I conditioned. It was supposed to be about what the two will do for the state of Ohio. We covered those issues as I said that we would in order to be granted that interview. But as we were being able to wrap it up, I wasn't going to let this opportunity to go by without first asking how the governor could support the RNC stripping these Maine delegates of their credentials. I asked it even though we were told that the campaign did not want to talk about delegates. Yesterday, the RNC chose to remove the entire Maine delegation from being able to be seated as a part of that. Do you believe that that is the right step for the RNC to have taken, considering the fact that these people were elected,
they're
Republicans who were elected by Republicans to go
in that position. You know, I haven't just seen the inner politics of what's going on, and I'm not going to comment on the RNC's decision. I really haven't looked at this.
Really? So Governor Romney claims he wasn't aware of his own campaign having an entire state of delegates stripped of their credentials. Hard to believe when it was his campaign that led the challenge of these delegates. But then again, Governor Romney also claims to not have realized that his chief legal counsel just pushed through what many top GOP leaders are calling the biggest GOP power grab in the party's history. So here's what happened. Conservatives and even some moderates are accusing the Romney chief attorney, Ben Ginsburg, of pushing through a rules change for delegate selection that would give Mitt Romney enormous power over the primary process should he win the White House and seek re-election in 2016. According to the Washington Times, Ginsburg persuaded the RNC Rules Committee members to let Mr. Romney, if he becomes president, decide which delegates will be seated at the 2016 GOP presidential nominating convention. It also calls for letting future presidential hopefuls decide who gets to take the delegate slot since they win in each state. Tea Party supporter and the founder of Freedom Works, Dick Armey, came out strongly against this RNC rule, saying this, quote, "The process has always been bottom-up, but Romney officials have rewritten the rules so that the nominee can stifle any dissent on the platform committee and even unseat delegates. Make no mistake, This will weaken the process by which Republicans choose their candidate for president and push the grassroots out of the party process. So when Romney told me on Saturday that he isn't worried about the delegates, he apparently meant it.
I'm sure that the convention will work just fine. We'll have a lot of delegates there. We're going to get the nomination. I'm not worried about that.
So what you need to know is that there is a saying in Maine: as Maine goes, so goes the rest of the nation. And that's why this delegate battle with Maine really is so important. Let me break this down like this. In Maine, Republican delegates were elected by Republicans. The RNC didn't like who they were going to vote for, even though under state rules they had every right. So the RNC said, we're going to replace those delegates with ones who will vote the way we want. Under this new rule change, in 2016, the same thing that happened this year in Maine will happen to every state in the country. One campaign will have veto power over every single delegate, which means party bosses run everything, and those at the grassroots level are cut off. And that is reality check.
If you'd like to make your voice heard on the story, you can head over to my Facebook page. You can find it by searching Ben Swan, WXIX. And I should mention that interview had quite a few other elements to it as well. We asked Governor Romney as well as Congressman Ryan about a number of things. And all throughout this week, we're going to be taking a look at their answers and then fact-checking the truth about what they said and were they telling the truth or not. So we'll be doing that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night.
Now, did you put in a request with Obama's people?
Okay, folks, and there you have it.
Oh boy, do we have it!
There
you see my
there you
little.
Have it.
Did you see my little chat?
I was sitting in front of the monitor, holding my phone so the folks could hear it. So sorry.
I think what he just said to all of us, which is a sigh of relief, that if this guy gets nominated, and he gets that power to tell everybody that he's going to hand select the delegates and he's going to control everything. It sounds like he doesn't want the Tea Party. It sounds like he doesn't want the conservatives or the right-wing Christians or the Paul people in the GOP anymore. So we're all free to go do what we want in November. Isn't that awesome, people?
They're doing so good. The Republican Party is doing so good. They don't need money anymore. They don't need our votes. They don't need anything. So,
he's going to pick the delegates.
That gives us the clear, concise direction of what we need to do. It doesn't make it ambiguous anymore, right?
Yep.
That's a good thing, because now we have that clear edict from the RNC elitists that we choose who we want, and it doesn't matter about your states and what they want. So that means that the RNC can have their game, and those little, 100-so people can just go play their game, and the other millions of people who want a conservative government and a smaller government, well, we can go do our thing. That's what it is now.
Exactly. Yep. And let me give you guys an update of what's going on with Senate District 7 in from the Texas delegation, right? Okay, so for those of you who don't know, just quick rundown. If there was one state that was sort of the heart and soul of the Republican Party, most people would think it's the state of Texas. And the state of Texas Republican Party is basically run by Houston, and it's run essentially out of one district, which is Senate District 7, which is kind of the heart and soul of the Republican Party of Texas, which makes it sort of the heart and soul of the Republican Party. So got an email today. This came out from David Riddle, Valerie Swanson, Mark Ramsey, all delegates. Valerie and Mark, I met at our convention, talked with them quite a bit ahead of time, very nice people. David, he's the chair, so he's busy with a few things. But what they said is, regarding this rule change, delegates to the Republican National Convention are elected, and that is bold, italicized, underscore, so that's three on that word, are elected in Texas and most other states by the state organization, usually meeting in a state convention such as ours in Fort Worth this year. It is a tremendous honor to be elected as a delegate. We're often at the national convention, and it almost always goes to longtime Republican Party grassroots activists, citizens like you and I who have devoted years of their lives toward good government, electing good conservative candidates. Some exceptional elected officials are also sometimes honored this way, but for the most part, it is citizen volunteer activists who have demonstrated their commitment to conservative issues who are elected by their peers.
These delegates ultimately vote on who the national presidential nominee of the party will be at the national convention. They are, in a sense, the electoral college of the GOP. However, the Rules Committee has passed rules this week that would radically change this and give the presumptive nominee de facto veto power over a state's duly elected representative without even so much as indicating why. In essence, the candidate could disavow duly elected delegates and thus deny them entrance to the convention, literally at the door, after they had traveled at their own expense to represent their state. Now, our state senator, Dan Patrick, said, "I understand the need for unity behind our nominee in any year, but this is not the way to do it. The power of selecting delegates should stay in the hands of the people of each state and not be controlled by the party elites." And what they're saying is that the Texas delegates are helping to lead the fight for the minority report. It is other states that need to be contacted, preferably by friends and family. You may know them. And so for everyone in other states, get a hold of your delegates, contact them, and let them know to support the minority report. Now, someone else was saying earlier today that what the Romney folks are trying to do is amend the minority report all to hell because they can't win, so they're trying to destroy the minority report as well. But the thing is, look, they can't do this. At this point, they've jumped the shark. They're going a bridge too far. It can't work for them. And now they've got state parties revolting against them. And look, these people, David Riddle and Valerie Swanson and Mark Ramsey, these aren't radicals or anything. These are longtime Republicans. They've been forever. They're forever. David Ramsey actually has been defending the pro-life plank of the Texas platform for years. And the Texas pro-life plank is pretty much the pro-life plank that's in the national convention. So that one guy, you know, has been really holding the flame. And to say that these are radicals or something like that, I mean, Romney really has bitten off more than he can chew. At this point, you know, he hadn't cut off the fat of the party, you know, saying, oh, these Ron Paul guys are just a bunch of young kids and radicals. He's now cutting into the bone of the party, all right? So this guy's got to be stopped.
Amen.
That
Dan.
Was awesome. That was awesome. Thank you for that crystal clear update.
They have to be stopped, plain and simple. We cannot allow this BS to keep on going on right here in the great state of Florida in a little small city called Tampa. They can take these idiots out of here, and let's get them out of our country and send them to Cuba, Havana, or send them down to Venezuela, or send them over there to damn Russia, where these idiots want to rob you of your freedom.
Oh, and by the way, I think I might have said Mark or David Ramsey. His name's Mark Ramsey. I don't know. Sometimes I'm walking around doing things while I'm talking, I misspeak. It's David Riddle and Mark Ramsey.
It's just amazing. I think that they just keep throwing it at you. It's kind of like Obama and the Democrats. They just keep throwing stuff at you. You can't get through the next pile, you know, the first pile of crap, because the second pile of crap is coming. The third pile, it just keeps coming. I think the whole thing is divide, conquer, confusion, anger, emotion. We got a hurricane. We can't have a thing on Monday. Oh, we don't have a hurricane. Well, we're gonna meet and we're gonna hit the gavel and then we're leaving. You guys can go take off. Oh, wait a second. You know, they're gonna do a vote, delegates. Oh my God, the buses aren't here. You know, it's just chaos and
wow.
It's planned chaos. Come on, it's wow. Kung Fu, the art of war.
Well, the shit is sinking the ship right now.
Yeah. Thank God.
I mean, it's like one big, large commode. And it is smelling like it, too. I'm sorry to use that kind of language. I'm pissed off.
I agree.
And I hope y'all are as pissed off as I am.
The ship can't handle this cargo. It's not built for this. You know, it's sinking the ship.
Damn right it is.
They're destroying our party, and I believe... I've said this earlier today, I'm almost at a point where I totally believe that this is totally on purpose, and the goal is to defeat the GOP and hand it to Obama, and Obama's sitting up there on his little crown on the hill, going, I'm going to be king of the world because I'm going to get the UN next. That's what his goal is, and Romney's just helping him get there. I mean, call me crazy. You know, I've been on too many Paul sites lately. Maybe it's rubbing off. Got a little conspiracy going here, but people can't be this stupid. Not and be that successful and that powerful. They can't be this stupid. Well, maybe they can. I don't know. You know,
well,
you guys
well, let
can
me tell
correct
you something. I don't think you're being paranoid because remember we had a Republican governor of Florida. His name is Charlie Crist, right? And then he started running for Senate. He's a big rhino now. Everybody didn't want him, you know, so he didn't end up winning. And this guy who was in our party, all right, and a governor, sort of like, isn't there a governor of Massachusetts running right now? And a governor of Florida is speaking, a headline speaker, at the Democrat convention for Obama. Obama,
really?
The worst president in modern American history, worse even than Carter. So I know Carter's happy about that, possibly the worst ever. And now we have a rhino Republican former governor of Florida going to speak in his honor at his convention. These guys are not on our side. They've never been on our side. They do everything they can to defeat us by trying to manipulate us into falling in line, and it is time to stop obeying their orders and to start acting like real party members, activists, and sovereign citizens and take our party back and get these guys out or at least get them to shut up and sit on the sidelines.
How is there anybody that has – I imagine Sarah Palin's got a comprehensive list of people she trusts and people she's got targeted, not to use that term carefully on open line. But,
you
got
to put this
disclaimer
out there.
Yeah. I'm an Alaskan. I'm sorry. But here's the thing, and this is something we've all kind of discussed a little bit through the whole primary, is who do you trust? And we run across, you know, Sarah's back in Ted Cruz, and then I hear somebody spit out somebody else. A lot of us just don't know all these people. I mean, we don't live in politics. And somebody, we need to put together a comprehensive list so we can start backing the people who are on our side, because I sure as hell don't know who to support, not support, promote, you know, make it go viral. I mean, it's confusing. There's a lot of people out there.
Yeah, well, you know, we were talking about that very thing earlier today.
Real quick, I've got three people in the queue and three folks in the queue, and I'm going to let them in one by one according to how long they've been waiting. Come in, chime in, what's on your mind, and then we'll proceed from there, okay, guys?
No lemons.
No lemon.org tonight. So as I said, you know, just for this show, yes. Profanity, no, and civility, yes. So
I'm gonna have to swap what I'm drinking. If I can't use lemons, I'll use limes.
954, well, you're the first one coming in. What's on your mind? 954?
Oh yeah, hi. Robert?
Oh, hi Harriet.
Yeah, it's just me. I came to visit.
I've got a new party, lemon.org, and I
hear someone in the background.
That's okay. It was Chris. I'll let him back in after he's talking to whoever he's talking to. Go ahead, Harriet.
No, I just want to know what's the update with Romney, because I try to get into a reality check, and he said that he's going to have it online at 11 o'clock.
Well, yeah, we actually had the reality check. We had a clip of the interview they had Saturday, and then we had the update from reality check live, and I'm actually recording it. So if later on if people would like me to replay the reality check, that's fine, or I guess they said they will update the reality check on their website at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, so people can either listen to it there, or I would be, you know, happy to replay it again on the show if people would like that.
Was this the interview given on the on Saturday with
yes.
with Paul? Oh, I saw that. And he just said that he was going that he was going to be nominated. He was
I was actually going to make comment to that. I mean, if he really was not worried about – here's the thing. I don't remember, but I'm going to make this point, and then 610, you're next, is that the point I wanted to make on that is what I think – you know, what I observed was I don't believe Ben Swan asked him if he was confident that he was going to get nominated.
No.
If someone's actually confident about being nominated and they're not asked about it, why would they bring it up if they're like – oh yeah, but by the way, guys, I know we're going to get nominated. I mean, why would he even bring it up if it's not sitting in the back of his mind?
Right,
but that being
right.
said, I'm going to let 610 come in, and thank you
okay.
everyone else for staying on the line, and then we'll get, of course, people could just chime in as they will, as long as they don't talk too much over each other. But I just want to be able to get the opportunity to get everyone in who's on hold.
All right,
so,
Robert. Sure.
Thank you
okay.
very much, Harriet.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'll keep your line open. And then
okay.
610, what's on your mind?
Yes, it's Kathy Chapman, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Oh, hey, how's it going? Thank you for calling in, Kathy. What's on your mind?
Okay. I just wanted to chime in with Rex and Tex and Max and everybody else. Isn't this Chinese water torture with the confusion and isn't waterboarding against the law now?
I thought it was.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. I'm going to reply to someone I've got here. Okay, real quick. Oh, I spelled that wrong, but I guess I think I conveyed my message. Someone had a chat message for me that I replied to. So, okay, well, thank you very much. It looks like the next in the line is 254. 254, I'm letting you in, and let us know what's on your mind.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is Tim.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Just wishing I was out in Tampa with a few of you having a beer.
Oh, my gosh, that would be phenomenal. So, Rex and Tex and Sammy and the others down there can chime in on that. So I have one more person on hold just called in. But you guys go ahead and answer that about the weather.
We're silver bullets here. And we got other varieties as well. But, yeah, you should see the fridge and the counter in this kitchen. Oh, my God.
Is it nice?
That's quite a collection of alcohol we have here.
And you're going to tie one on, huh?
You know, someone's
right.
drinking Guinness for me or something.
Rex is drinking your Guinness.
I wanted to let guys like Sammy know that I got my date. I'm going to be out of the Army on 15 September, and I'm elated about it. And also, regarding the Republican Party, it is not the Republican Party that you all who have been around for a little longer than I remember.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. No, I'm just joking.
I am
here, and I hear you. This is
just kidding. Go ahead.
It's been hijacked by a bunch of neocon, rhino, religious zealots. And let me tell you, their views do not match what the Gingrich and the Paul people are about, which is small government and personal liberties, okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, if the RNC manages to swindle Mitt Romney the election or the nomination, keep in mind that there is a party out there with open arms just waiting for people like us to come into their fold.
It's not the Lemon Party, is it?
that's the Libertarian Party. They're about small government, personal liberties across the board, and they're not a bunch of crooks.
But the reason I bring up the Lemon Party is we had a guy come in. He was either a Romney or Obama supporter. I think he said Obama.
Obama, yeah.
And I mean, he was funny. I mean, he brought up the Lemon Party. He did go to a site that wasn't, appropriate. At least he wasn't coming in and saying, dropping F-bombs or anything like that.
Yeah.
So his tactics were funny.
I don't mind a troll as long as he's insightful and he's funny while he's doing it.
The point I want to make is that the GOP establishment that has hijacked that party, it's like they're driving the Titanic into an iceberg, and we're all on the ship going, hey, you're headed for an iceberg, look out. you know, and they're just like, ah, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Here's a lifeboat. Get off our boat. So I say, let them hit it. They've given us the lifeboats and telling us, you know, have a good, have a fun time. Wish them good luck in November and say good riddance.
Well, exactly. That's kind of my thought is that, you know, I don't foresee a scenario where I lose. I mean, Mitt Romney is set up in order to get Barack Obama reelected in November, and a reelection of Barack Obama would be like the Titanic hitting the iceberg and backing up and hitting the thing again, you know. There's no reason to reelect this guy. And,
right.
You know, picking Mitt Romney, that's not really a choice. That's like, well, let's go back and let's just sideswipe that iceberg. You know, we won't directly hit it. We'll just swipe. I mean, that's not a choice. But there's not really a scenario where I see that, you know, what I want to accomplish loses, because either we get an open convention and we actually pick a real conservative Republican candidate and we go on to victory in November, or the GOP just decides that it doesn't want to exist anymore. And, you know, we move on and we start looking at our options, whether we want to reform our party from within or go someplace else or start a new party or band together a bunch of the smaller parties to create something new. But the GOP at that point will have become irrelevant.
Well, they're on a path of self-destruct because, I mean, they're not going to win this election with Mitt Romney, and they're going to lose millions of voters in future elections because of the stuff they've pulled in this one that's now coming to light. They're literally self-destructing, and they're not going to have anyone to blame but themselves come November. I mean, there's an old saying that stupid people think the smart people are crazy people, and that's what you're seeing right now. Oh, these Gingrich and Paul people, oh, they're crazy. We don't need to listen to them.
Exactly. Now, I've got another one more person to unhold, folks. So let's let them chime in. And then after that, there is a gentleman here you called in, Chris, who's been wanting me to play a audio for a couple nights now, and I've been promising that I would. But it's about 10 and a half minutes long, but it, from my understanding, it will hold the attention of the folks, of the listeners.
Yeah.
So, and I promised I'd play it, you know, we'll go ahead. And it is relevant to what we're going through tonight. When I believe, Chris, and you can chime in and maybe give a little introduction after I let this person from 602 in on what this audio clip is going to be. So at this time, I'd like to let in 602, and then you can chime in and tell us what's on your mind. And then, Chris, if you would, give an introduction to the audio that we'd like to play. And thank you, everyone, again, for staying on the line. 602, your mic is open.
Okay. Hi, everyone. It's
hey,
only
how
Kim.
Are you?
I'm
oh,
just
hi, Kim.
Pinky.
Thank you very much for calling in.
Hi, Kim.
Hello. I think there's going to be a lot of ruckus after they try not to vote for no Mitwit, you know, after the delegates are done.
Abstain.
Chaos in the streets.
Absolutely.
You know?
Chaos at the Romney campaign. He's
yeah.
Going to choose what color of limo he drives out of town in.
Did he really sound confident, folks? I mean, what do you guys, of all the people on the panel here, you know, before I play the audio and Chris described it, what did you guys think about his tone of voice when he's like, oh, yeah, I'm convinced that we're going to win? I mean, maybe it was just me reading into it,
well,
so that's why I asked the other people, you know, on the call here, what you think, and people in the chat chime in, too.
This is Paul. I'll go first on this. Let's kind of look at what Romney is, first of all. He is the epitome of a CXO or CEO of a company, right? The job of the people underneath him is to give him plausible deniability of everything that is not correct and right that is going on with his company so that he can be shielded from these things so that he doesn't have to take the fall. And that way they can deflect it, and that is how he is acting now. Is that everything that's going wrong, he knows about. He absolutely knows about. But he has got his CEO hat on, and he's running his criminal organization in a way that he has plausible deniability so that he can stand there, sit there, and say these things with a straight face, right?
But it's not that he doesn't know what's going on. He also doesn't know how to control it, because now he's faced with something that you don't really face with as a CEO. As a CEO, you either buy it and do what you do with it as your company, or you fire it and get it out of your hair, or otherwise you abandon it and just go somewhere else and let the thing burn down. But now Romney is finding out the realities of big-time government, right, or big-time politics, where he doesn't know how to unify, because his history is buy it, sell it, hire it, or fire it, right? And those are the only things he knows how to do, and that's what he's trying. But he doesn't have those tools in his arsenal, in his experience, to deal with this situation. So I'll back off now and let somebody else comment on it.
Is this Paul Rary?
Yes, that is. That's Mr. Polar Crew from the wrong area code.
Hey there, Mr. Dear Friend. How you doing tonight?
I admit, I haven't been as jaded with those area codes. So in defense of Sammy, I just had to let him in, you know, because I haven't been jaded, because I haven't experienced nearly the amount of attacks from people as Sammy has. So, you know.
that's okay, Robert. I appreciate you letting me in.
Paul is awesome.
Oh, no, I know he is. I'm just, you know, trying to say, Sammy, that's why you're a little jaded with that area code, that's all.
Hey, but I agree with everything you say. And right now, it's not time for us to go sit on the toilet and let Mitt Romney take over our country. The time is now to get out there and call your delegates and let them, if you can get a cell phone number, and call them and tell them if they were against Mitt Romney, it is time for you now to get out there and do something about it. And for you listeners out there, it's time for you to do something. And if you are a delegate, it's time for you to vote your conscience. Screw the RNC. If we keep on letting them try to hijack our party, our country is screwed for another 4 years, because Barack Obama is going to get reelected.
Amen.
Quickly on that voting thing, if there are delegates listening, or if you know delegates, there is fear in the delegates for them right now on first ballot to not vote for Mitt Romney, okay? But what they are not telling the DLC, what you need to tell them, what we'll share here is, it is perfectly legal and within the rules to abstain on every single ballot. Abstain until you get somebody that you want to vote for on a ballot. That is how you get the candidate you want. Okay? So I'll back out with somebody else talk.
Amen, Paul. You're right. Abstain. Go ahead.
Oh, Paul's awesome. You know, the thing that I think that, you know, and I've said this before, but we probably have new listeners, and I'm going to post this radio show on Ben Swan's link right now, just so you guys know that. And also, they're up to 750 comments since we first heard about this today. But here's the key. We're a republic, and this is, I swear, not enough people understand how this country's formed. Popular vote is how you vote in dictators, i.e. 52% for Romney. And then everybody's screaming, he's the one, he's the one, he's the one. No, he's not the one. The delegates, 2,286 delegates have not voted. Those are the representatives who are on top of the political issues, on top of their community, who take the time to go out there to become elected, to spend money they don't have and time they don't have, to be aware of what's going on so that they can represent us. We are in the process of, well, we're supposed to be in the process of being represented at the RNC. And somebody has made a decision, the CEO of Bain Capital has made it, and his backers and his cronies and this evil sidekick lawyer of his have made a decision that we're going to be a democracy. And that is what is at stake. Everybody that's fear of Obama crap, this is what we need to fear. Because if this man can do this to our party and then take over this country, then he may become the dictator we fear Obama wants to be.
That's a very good point, Chris.
Amen to that. And just
and with this rule change at the convention, it's pretty clear he's trying to be a dictator. I mean, this is from Mark Levin's site. This came today at 4:41. He says, damn it, defeat this rhino power grab. Conservatives of all stripes, especially Tea Party activists, this is an attempt to destroy your ability to influence the presidential and vice presidential nomination process in the Republican Party. It is an attempt to eviscerate the input of state parties. It is a brazen assault on the grassroots, and it is sleazy to the core. If I didn't know better, I'd think Obama was behind it. Instead, Romney's operatives are orchestrating it. So they are going to such lengths that they've awoken everyone.
You delegates vote in Congress or abstain because the RNC doesn't follow their own rules, so why should you?
Absolutely. Yep. If this is the crap they're pulling, you know, then you're under no obligation to these guys because these guys are trying to put y'all all in political handcuffs when you go in. They ask you to pay to go there, and then they tell you to shut up and sit down and don't do anything to make you think that you're empowered to do anything except exactly what they tell you to do. That's not our party.
I know a new party, the Rex and Texan Sammy Party.
There you go.
The Constitutional Conservative Party.
Right.
There you go. And also, Harry just put in the chat, it says, an article people could go to, Romney Family Investment Group partnered with alleged perpetrators of $8 billion Ponzi scheme. So people people like to check that out. There's a link in the chat to just scroll up just a little bit.
Yeah, and it's ongoing now. It's in court, and Romney's involved with his son, and it's $8 billion. It's the second biggest to Bernie Madoff. So
they'll probably sweep it under the rug.
At least until after the convention,
I don't think so. I don't think so, according to the article.
The way that came up is the Securities Exchange had some findings that there were illegal activities, and then there were interested parties and possible defendants that were identified that were owners and investors in that. Okay, but there's no criminal charges filed as yet because it is still under investigation of who to charge.
Right.
The speculation is that the charges, since the DOJ runs this investigation, right, there's speculation here. That's just a speculation now, that the charges will come after the September Charlotte DNC convention. And if it's and they expect Romney to win it because, you know, that's who's been the boy since 2008, right, then they would file those charges and name Romney in that charge and automatically disqualify him for a POTUS run.
Okay. And on page five, Spencer Zwick, Z-W-I-C-K, is his chief fundraiser and campaign advisor, and he's also involved in Solomer Capital. Stanford Financial Group, it's an $8.5 billion Ponzi scheme. And the writer of the article says that they stand with this investigation.
Well, we had a great – go ahead.
I was just going to say there's also the talk about, you know, his link with Stericycle and how they're disposing of the aborted fetuses.
Hey, don't forget El Salvador, you know. I mean, hell, it goes all the way back to the 80s.
Yep. Now, I've got some audios on that I could play on another night if necessary. But speaking of that, before, Chris, if you'd like to give an introduction to that audio that I've been promising that I'd play, if anyone else would chime in about what we've been covering so far, go ahead before Chris gives us a synopsis of the audio I'm going to play. Would anyone else like to chime in on anything before we do that?
About the money. Because I think we should place sanctions on them, because I think they're getting the money from Soros, so I don't think they need anybody who actually works for a living. I don't think we need to finance their agenda.
But Soros himself you know, said that there's not much difference between Mitt Romney and Obama. But that being said, well, you know, I've got, you know, I could play that where you actually hear Soros saying that, but I mean, you know, we could do that later if necessary, but or if people want to. But Chris, if you'd like to go ahead and give a little synopsis on the audio that people are about to hear. As I said, it is about 10 and a half minutes, but to my understanding, it's something that will, yeah, it will keep the attention of the audience. Okay,
It is one of, you know, we have this argument, or not argument, but we have this discussion. Number one, you know, and Rex and Tex and Dan and all of us say the same thing. We need to focus on the convention. We need to focus on we are going to win. But this guy, Josh Tolley, who is a Ron Paul supporter, but he has a radio program, does a lot of videos, you know, he has a lot of videos out there and stuff, had one of the best tirades about this crap of if you don't vote for Romney, you're voting for Obama mentality. And he covers this in a way, we've all covered it and had our little bits and pieces, but he covers it in a way that absolutely puts it to bed about you and your voting rights. It is, it's amazing.
And voting your conscience, so, you mentioned something about that?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. And I just don't want to take anything from the video because people really need to listen to it.
Sure. Okay, well, without further ado, folks, please enjoy.
All right, so a lot of you are saying, well, Josh, you just had the author of Fool Me Twice, Obama's shocking plans for the next 4 years exposed. Does that mean you're supporting Mitt Romney? No. No. It just means I'm not supporting Barack Obama. And see, the ignorance out there in the voting populace think, well, you have to support one of them, right? You have to support one of these two, because if you're not going to support Mitt Romney, then you're supporting Barack Obama. And if you're not going to support Barack Obama, then you must be supporting Mitt Romney. And then we hear ignorant things like, well, a vote for Gary Johnson or whoever. I'm not saying Gary Johnson. You don't understand what I'm saying. Anybody. A vote for Bob Smith is just a vote for Obama. No, a vote for Bob Smith is a vote for Bob Smith. If you're willing to vote your conscience and your conscience tells you, hey, I need to vote for Bob, then you're never wasting a vote. A wasted vote is the one that doesn't have your belief behind it. And that's exactly where we're heading in November. Regardless of the outcome, we're heading to a situation where most likely Americans are going to lose. So I have a question for all you Mitt Romney supporters out there. And I know we're on the heels of the RNC in Tampa. It's starting on Monday. Question, how are you going to explain to your children why you voted for Mitt Romney? And I'm not trying to be sensationalist. I'm not trying to, like, poke fun of you. I'm really serious about this. Because the running theory now is, well, it's the lesser of two evils. Josh, tell me how you explain the lesser of two evils theory to your children. They're at a party. They're offered marijuana or crack. By your logic, they take the marijuana. No, Josh, they could have left. They could have stand on their principles and demanded to leave the party. Well, so could you. But you didn't. You didn't demand to stand on your principles or leave the party. No, 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 no. You decided to compromise. Well, Josh, he's not a compromise. Well, yes, he is. Don't tell me he's not a compromise, because you are the very same people that told all of us 4 years ago, don't vote for Mitt Romney because he's the liberal candidate. He's the flip-flopping candidate. He's the guy who even this election cycle, during the primary debates, answered the question to the tune of, well, I was in a state that, you know, there was progressive Democrats in leadership, so we had to... No! This is a guy who admits he compromises on principle. You don't compromise on principle. Politics should have compromise on things like, well, do we spend $100 million building this? And then, you know, there should be a little compromise. But now when it comes to principle, you don't compromise principle. And if you do, then you shouldn't be running this nation. Well, Josh, him and Ryan have a plan for the economy. It's not a good plan. It's a synthetic plan. Josh, we need economic recovery. Okay, let's use your logic and reason again, because I love using your logic. We know that their economic recovery plan won't work as long as we're still getting our currency issued to us by a private entity and as long as the current form of a tax system exists. As long as those two things exist, we cannot, by mathematical conclusion, have an economy that's where it needs to be for true economic growth for you. Now, knowing that, what you're willing to do then is to synthetically stimulate yourself. You're willing to provide a solution to yourself through a synthetic high. It's almost like getting drugged. You don't want to deal with the depression. You don't want to deal with the real issue. So you go out and you get some heroin. You take that, and now you have a synthetic high. Well, at least I get to forget about my pressing issue. I got rid of my depression. For a worse problem, yes. And then let's follow up on that. If you're willing to do that, what's the exchange rate? Now, Mitt Romney's one of these guys who's for the destruction of the Constitution. He even said so, that he's for the permanent implementation, and so is Paul Ryan, of the Patriot Act, NDAA 2012, H.R. 3166, all these things that trump economic recovery. They trump economic recovery, especially when the economic recovery is only a synthetic recovery. And even if it weren't to be, you still have to look at the exchange rate. Is economic recovery worth giving up sovereignty? The answer is always no. Is economic recovery worth giving up freedom? No. If it is, you're really just prostituting yourself, and Mitt Romney became your pimp. Well, I'm willing to sell what's near and dear to me for economic recovery, for money. You're willing to sell what's near and dear to you. You're willing to sell your heart and body for money. What does that make you? You answered it. I didn't. What does that make you? Go ahead and say it. Uh-huh. And now you're not even in a position where you say who, you say when, you say who. For all you movie lovers out there, that was a movie reference. But you understand what I'm saying. You're not even holding these people accountable. You're willing to compromise so the politicians don't have to. What is wrong with you where you're not the ones that say, hey, we're the American people. We don't compromise. If you want to represent us, you're the one who meets us where we are and our needs. We're not going to bend and yield so you can have power. How pathetic is that? I hope you don't raise children. And I don't care what political organization. Well, we're with Christian Values for America. Well, then you're actually hypocrites, so you better run along. We're with Americans for an economy. Not if you're willing to sell out America, you're not. Man up, Bubba. Well, Josh, it's either him or Barack. It's the lesser of two evils. The lesser of two evils is always what? Oh, yeah, that's right, evil. So we have a wolf and a wolf in sheep's clothing. So you think, well, obviously the wolf in sheep's clothing is obviously better, Josh. Duh. At least we get some wool. We get some economic recovery. Granted, we're going to get eaten up by both of them in the end, but at least we get some wool in this exchange, right? That's where we have to go. BS. Stand up. Man up. Be the example that you want your kids to see you as and say, you know what? We don't compromise on our values. We don't compromise freedom. We don't compromise liberty. We don't compromise the ability for us to own our own wage and own our own property and earn our own wage. And that's exactly what happens with the synthetic economic recovery plan of the Romney-Ryan ticket. It's not even arguable. I mean, is it a plan that could work? Yeah, it could produce economic recovery in some form, but it's a synthetic form. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts that when Romney wins, because that's the way it looks like the establishment wants us to go, when Romney wins, we are going to see an uptick in economic recovery. And do not come back to me and say, well, see, Josh, it worked. We got Romney in, and yay, America's back. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Because then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to this clip, play it for you, and say, hey, wait a second. Do we still have the Patriot Act? Do we still have the drones over our head? Do we still have the TSA? Do we still have an indefinite detention like we're seeing carried out now? Do we still have all these loose definitions of what it is to be a terrorist and what it is to be a suspect? If we still have those, then we lost. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts right now, under a Romney administration, we still have those. And I'm not being harsh on Romney. He said that. He said that he wants to have those things. So everything that you hated about America until the media told you that it was supposed to be the economy, all those things that you were protesting against, all those things you stood for as a Tea Party, taxed enough already, and I want my Constitution back, and hands off me TSA, all of that stuff, you're just willing to sell out on that for a synthetic economic recovery? And it's only synthetic because they have no real plan on addressing what's behind the economic failure at the root of it. They're just playing you like a fiddle. And they're hoping, like a happy little hooker, you walk over to the window and say, yeah, well, I'll sell out for $100. I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to hold you accountable. And don't say, well, Josh, then I'm going to hold you accountable. Yeah, because if you don't back Romney, Obama's going to win, and I'm going to hold you accountable. Fine, do that. Do that. Because we lose freedom under each one of them. You know, your founding fathers didn't die for economic recovery, right? Benjamin Franklin, if adjusted for inflation, is arguably America's first billionaire, and that happened under English rule. So your founding fathers didn't die for economic recovery. They died for freedom. They died so something like the Patriot Act would never exist. How do you explain this to me? The terrorists don't want to destroy this country. They want us to give up freedom. Then they win. We voluntarily give up freedom, and we're still fighting the war on terror. If that's the case, who's the real terrorist? The terrorist who is over in a cave laughing because he didn't have to do anything? Or the terrorist who attacked the Constitution, dismantled that, took an oath to defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and now has become the domestic enemy that he swore an oath to defend us against? That is the terrorist, isn't it? I'm not trying to imply anything. I'm just asking you the question.
Anybody who's willing to destroy the Constitution from within,
and that's exactly what happened with the Constitution when we implemented the Patriot Act and now the additions to the H.R. 3166 and NDAA 2012. If that happens, and it did, isn't that the destruction of the Constitution? And if so, isn't that an act of domestic terrorism?
Right, but so is Mitt Romney.
And then you're trying to tell me to vote for it. Josh, I stand for liberty. So join me in voting for the ones who want to destroy it. No, Bubba, you have to go sell crazy somewhere else. Your founding fathers would be very disappointed. And I know that organizations are going to tell you that, oh, well, he represents what America BS. You know it. I know it. Search your soul and you know I'm right. I don't know how you're going to sleep at night. All right, that does it for today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Today, tomorrow, and as always, folks, may your path lead to heaven, and may freedom follow in your footsteps.
Was that right?
Hey, folks, thank you for your patience. It was a really great audio. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Who's that guy think he is? You can't just go on a rant like that, you know, 20 minutes against railing against Romney and saying happy Oak or stuff like that. That's crazy. Who can do that kind of stuff on the radio?
Did he nail it or what?
Yeah, that was pretty good. It sounded a bit like the Tex and Rex show, I thought. Yeah.
Well, it would need a little bit more baritone voice.
It was reminiscent of the Tex and Rex show.
Robert, who was that guy? Where was he from?
Josh Tolley.
Josh Tolley?
Yeah, he's a Paul guy. He has radio shows, blah blah blah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah, Texas?
I don't know, let me click on him. I've heard a few of his stuff.
To be like Rex and Tex show, he would need a little more polish though.
Yeah, and it's a bigger brass one.
Yeah, and he didn't
thanks
cuss,
for the compliment.
And he didn't cuss.
Well, we don't cuss. We just pepper our rants with colorful language.
Or Olympic French.
We just serve it up with a dash of cayenne.
Uh-huh. Cute chilies.
Is my mic live?
Yeah, you're on here, Sammy. Go ahead. You're live.
Okay. Yeah. Probably Bourbon, say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no. No, I speak English.
Robbie does.
Could I ask one question, please?
You bet.
What is the religion of Rince Priebus? Might he be a Mormon?
Please. No.
I think that's the Greek name. Yeah.
Yeah. We were trying to figure that out last night.
I couldn't hear Harriet. What did she say?
I don't know.
Greek name.
Oh. He's from Wisconsin, I found out. So he's part of that. I guess he's close to Ryan and all that kind of stuff, I would assume.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out if he was Mormon because he's really on Romney's coattails. I mean, since from the beginning.
Well, I was just going to say, I watched two clips this afternoon. Both involved Chris Matthews, and both involved
this thing about racially charged language. This is what Chris Giddy Matthews is saying, that Mitt Romney used when he said that nobody has to see my birth certificate, right? And so there were two clips. One was Chris Matthews tearing into Reince Priebus on the issue, and one was Chris Matthews trying desperately to tear into Newt Gingrich. And the contrast could not have been more stark. Reince Priebus eventually said, well, I'm just not going to talk to you anymore because you're being an idiot or something like that, right? So he kind of picked up his ball and went home. But Chris Matthews was like, yeah, you don't want to talk to me because I'm right. You know, Chris Matthews kind of won the field. And then Gingrich got on the Chris Matthews show and just tore him a new a-hole. And Chris Matthews was like, don't do that, don't do that. See, I see that little demonic grin of yours. You think you're winning. And he's like, well, because I'm right, Chris. It was hilarious. Newt just destroyed this guy. And Reince, he pulled it up like a cheap suit, you know?
I wonder if Prince Cubits is a log cabin Republican.
Oh, he's definitely light as loafers, Sammy. There's no question about it. And the interesting thing is, I don't know where he's, if he's going to the Blue Oyster Club tonight or something like that, but we've got intelligence that he's going to be leaving his office right about midnight. And so we're going to come grab you, and we're going to head over there and party it up in his office. And we'll be broadcasting live at midnight from Reince Cubits' office tonight with Sammy Sanford.
And
spoiler alert, Rex put that ball gag in the safe over there, but there was already one in there.
don't forget
hey,
to rinse while you're up there.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Rex, did you have a link available that you could put in the chat so the folks can go there for have easy reference there to go to your show at midnight?
I will do that shortly.
Great.
And we're always easy to find. You can just search Tex and Rex in Blog Talk Radio because apparently no one else has came up with the idea of calling their show Tex and Rex, so we're easy to find. And if you look on Election 2012 in Blog Talk Radio at midnight, we're the only ones broadcasting in that category, so, you know, we're dominating.
Very unique.
Well, I don't know. I'll put it this way. I think our broadcasting is somewhat unique, but we're really sending out the same message as Robert and Sammy and Mark Prasik and apparently a bunch of Paul guys, except that they want Ron Paul first. And our philosophy here is Newt first, Paul second, Romney never. Yep. However, we got an interesting movement coming up in the mix. There's a possibility that it's going to be a move to nominate Sarah Palin. Now, she's not my first choice. I'm a Sarah Palin fan. She's the only reason I even bothered voting for John McCain in the last election. And I think she would be a far better president than Mitt Romney or Barack Obama. But I think that Newt Gingrich is certainly better at that. I believe Sarah Palin's new role will be kingmaker, whether it is in the Republican Party that is taken over by conservatives and libertarians, or whether it is that we go find a new home. I'm not sure, but I know that she's got a role to play. But if they drafted her and put her up for a nomination, I would be perfectly happy with that.
Let me let Robert know you're going to have someone calling in from Sarah Palin organization. They're getting ready to be calling into your show very shortly.
Robert, just want to let you know, I just linked our show in your chat.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, guys. Awesome. There you go, folks. It's under Texas Dan. There's a link, Blog Talk Radio, /Texan Rex, /2012, /08. That's the link, folks, for you, Will. Well, great. Now, you said that they're going to call in here. Sammy, are they going to call into the Rex and Tech show?
They're going to call into your show.
Oh, okay. Well, I will be looking onto the switchboard and making sure I keep a watch fly out. Thank you very much for letting me know.
Well, here, hold on. Let me just make sure it's your show. Let me ask the person to send me this.
Sure.
Well, I mean, we're kind of running one show, right? It's Bard's Logic /Texan Rex, 100% Sam Sanford, and we're running it for 4 hours. So, you know.
Yeah, just
pick it up here, pick it up there.
Only four. It's like seven today. We've already broadcast three.
Was that today? The days are running together.
They're calling me on the cell phone. I'm going to have to drop the line for a minute. I'll be back shortly.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Yeah, we got about 39 minutes left of this show, and then, of course, well, this portion of the coverage of the convention, and then it'll move over to just a different venue, and that's all, and different phone number so that people who like to call in. And I tell you what, would you guys like to give the phone number or type the phone number in the chat for the people who would like to call in?
Don't type it in the chat. It's next
certainly. To your show?
It's all the link to the show, and the number to dial in for us is 646-649-1013, and I'll type it in your chat, Robert.
Great.
For when this show ends.
Yeah, we were looking for an 800 number, but Blog Talk Radio charges extra for those, and we didn't feel like shelling out the money, but we were trying to get 800-F-MIT. Is our caller number.
Well, actually, Rex, that's not entirely true. We actually were looking for a 900 number at first. But, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
What'd you say, 1-900 number? Is always
no. Yeah, you and Lemon, youandlemon.org.
Yeah, wow, that's unbelievable. I did not go to lemon.org, but lemoncardi.org, I can imagine those, so.
I'm the idiot that did, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, you're not an idiot. You're just inquiring minds want to know, right?
Well, I did the Wikipedia.
You were doing your due diligence, Chris. You were doing your due diligence.
Yeah, I was trying to help. I was going to post it.
You're just doing it. You know what's going to happen is, you know, there's going to be some folks tonight who are like, you know, it kind of piqued my curiosity about this lemonparty.org. I'm going to have to check that out.
Oh, my God. Don't waste your precious brain cells. You know,
do you guys like some crack?
Answer
your
what?
Sorry, like
go ahead.
Crack. Rince Priebus is, Greek Orthodox, so Wikipedia says. He's a lawyer. He was at the University of Miami School of Law and the University of Wisconsin Whitewater. He has two children. Can you imagine? He has two children. And,
oh, my God.
He's 40.
What's he
going to
tell
their names are?
He says he inherited $24 million debt when he became RNC, and he cut it in half in a year. Now, where did he get that money? Soros, maybe? And he's wiped out the entire debt that he was, this $24,000, and is now, of course, in the blue, not the red.
Well, speaking of Soros, for the folks who have not heard this before, it's just a real short clip, if I could find it here amongst all these clips I got here. Is
that joke wash and dry? It's hilarious. It's historical.
There it is.
Awesome.
It's only about a minute and a half. But I like to play it for the folks since George Soros came up a couple times. And this is George Soros saying that Romney is no different from Obama.
Well, look, either you'll have an extremist conservative, be it Gingrich or Santorum, in which case I think it would make a big difference which of the two comes in. If it's between Obama and Romney, there isn't all that much difference, except for the crowd that they bring with them. Romney would have to take Gingrich or Santorum as a vice president and probably have some pretty extreme candidates for the Supreme Court. So that's the downside.
But isn't there actually quite a big difference between even a President Obama and a President Romney when it comes to questions of taxation, particularly taxation of the so-called 1%, issues like carried interest? Do you see any difference
That is the big difference, and that has led my hedge fund community abandon Obama in favor of any Republican because they don't like to be taxed.
Are you one of Lenin's useful idiots in the view of your fellow hedge fund billionaires? to be making this kind of argument?
Well, I suppose so. I'm a traitor to my class.
So there would be not much difference between Romney and Obama.
Did he,
of course, we already
knew
that.
Didn't he know Hitler?
That I am not sure. I am not sure. That's a good question. I'm not certain.
No, I'm not being facetious.
It's possible.
That man has a history in that environment.
Yeah, my understanding was I can go try to look it up again, but he was part of he was a Nazi in World War II. Now I don't know if he was the SS or whatever, but he was definitely on the German side in World War II.
Didn't he crash the Bank of England and a couple of other countries? I mean, isn't this guy like?
Yes.
Doesn't Russia have an arrest warrant out on this guy?
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, he crashed currencies over in Asia and several other countries.
In,
yeah,
in England,
several
he,
other.
He
countries.
Heard England too. He heard England too, if I remember right.
Yeah, he hurt England. I think the guy who actually broke the Bank of England though was a trader who he was trading something on Japan, betting that it was going to come back, and it didn't. And when he was way in the hole, he doubled down and he broke the bank. I forget that guy's name though. I can look it up.
Didn't they make a movie about him?
Probably.
Oh, well, there's Barbara Byers put in a Wikipedia link in the chat of George Soros. If anyone wants to check that out.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart. I mean, he is. He's great. I bet you someday
I bet you someday in the future
that we find a link between Bain Capital and Soros. What do you bet?
Oh, that'd have to be there somewhere. Well, I mean, we do
Absolutely.
Have a link between Bain Capital
El Salvador.
And some El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe that day you and I tripped over that one. I don't know what it did.
40% of their investment capital from families that were connected to, well, at least what they're saying, to death camps and or death marches or what have you. And,
death squads.
Thank you. Thank you very much for clarifying that. And I appreciate that, Chris.
You
guys are right about that. Soros eventually, I mean, what Soros does is he manipulates currency through Forex, right? And so he essentially, speculators broke the pound, and that broke the bank because they had to pull out of the European exchange rate mechanism. But there was a guy who I'll find who the other guy was. But yeah, so Soros was involved in that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And the thing of it is that this is all of this playing games with currency and it's I don't care. You know, okay. And we've had this argument. You know, we've had this discussion before when Occupy Wall Street came up. You know, and they were kind of off on some ideas in terms of their solutions, but their argument and their issue and who they were mad at, you know, is no different than who the Tea Party's mad at and the rest of us. These people, every 8 to 10 years, crash our system. The Fed bails it. They pull some kind of manipulation. Banks play around on risk. They lose it, whether it was the savings and loans in the 80s or the dot-bomb era, or any of this stuff, or stuff that goes on internationally, and we have no control in our lives anymore. There's no stability anywhere. And the people who run it on Obama's side and back him, and the people on Romney's side and back him, and the people in Europe and all that crap that's going on in Europe, they're all the same damn people. You know, and there comes a point in time where you kind of like go, you know, what the hell is going on here? And what's wrong with people that they can't, you know, one plus one equals two. I mean, start putting this stuff together. This fear that people use in making their decisions in their lives and who they vote for is destroying our damn country. You know, and I know none of us here are that way, but, man, it's out there.
Well, exactly. And the thing is, you know, look, I was one of these people just like, you know, probably a lot of you were, where you just go do your thing, you come home, you watch TV, you shake your head, and you turn it off, and you go do something else. But, you know, at this point, it's so bad
that there's no choice but to do something. And so now we're organizing, we're talking to each other, we're sharing information, and, you know, we're awake and we're waking other people up, and we're becoming empowered. And Mitt Romney is, you know, we were talking about the chatter in Tampa. Well, the chatter in Tampa is Romney's teeth chattering because he's starting to get afraid he's not going to get this nomination, because you're not, Mitt.
Oh, and folks, I want to bring something that's not really on topic up, but since you know, we have Sammy here, and well, he'll be back, but Sammy here and Rex and Tex and myself, is one thing I could say I'll appreciate, and I'm sure the other folks would as well, is if you enjoy the shows and you like what you're hearing, is we'd really appreciate, you know, I can't speak for them, but you, I think it was, I said, following the show, and it's real easy to do. You just go to the homepage of their sites for their shows, and underneath the icon, there's a little follow button. Just click on that, and I believe all that does is just give you some email updates on, hey, the show's coming on, you know, something like that. So I would suggest that, or ask that, I should say, if you guys could follow Bard's Logic and also follow Samuel Sanford's One Million Person March or Man March to Tampa and the Texan Rex Show, and thank you very much. Go ahead, guys.
You guys, we're so polite tonight, man. We stomping all over each other last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny. No, you know, and I, you know, you guys have heard me yak my jaw a little bit every day. I believe that there is something happening. I know Tex and Rex have, and Sammy being down, and I have some other people in my group that are down in Florida right now. And, you know, they're sweating, and that's good. And everybody's talking about it. And I'm also seeing something on the groups. I'm seeing a lot of people come back that kind of got quiet, you know, like they got, like, where I'm going to, we're going to lose, and they, you know, people fade off. And I saw a whole bunch of new people back, not new, old people back on my group today, you know, fired up, posting stuff, interacting. So you, it's working, guys. You know,
we're doing
something. We're talking, we're interacting. I mean, I've never wavered once. And I mean, and this is not a brag point, but I've done over almost 18,000 posts in this primary. Mm-hmm. And I've never wavered. Anybody that's read my stuff, I don't waver, because I believe in this country. I believe in God. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the things that Newt Gingrich talks about. I believe in the things, you know, don't take this wrong, but I believe in some of the foundational things that Ron Paul talks about. You know, there are, I believe in a lot of things that Sarah Palin talks about. And when Alan West talks, I go, ah, you know, I get that. You know, that's the core of the way I was raised. That's a country I was brought up in. That's a country that I just assumed, like what you were just saying a minute ago. You know, I went to work. I worked my butt off my whole life, you know, and woke up. My kids were grown up one day. And you just kind of doing your thing, you know, thinking the system's going to be there. And you work your ass off and you put your money away and you make, you know, try to make good decisions. And then you get there one day and all of a sudden you get up and you look around and you're going, shit, what was that? You know? And how much harder am I going to have to work so these bastards can play these games, can sell our country down the drain? I mean, I never even knew we had 900 bases around the world until I started researching the Paul movement. And I'm going, 900 freaking bases? What are we doing? And what's going on? What are we doing over there? And you know, you start asking questions, because I never asked those questions before. My son joined the Army, went off to Iraq, spent 30 months in Iraq, you know, came back as a disabled vet. Now he's in college, he's home. And it was rah, 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 go America, kick their ass, they bombed us. And now we're all going, what are we doing? You know, even Newt's going, what are we doing in these places? I mean, you know, I respect Newt tremendously when it comes. I mean, the guy was the senior instructor for 30 years, you know, for the generals and the admirals on, you know, on war and world history. And Newt's getting up there going, yeah, we're not, something's wrong. We're looking at the wrong enemies, you know. And when Newt says it, I listen. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have instinct, because we're research people. We're Newt people. You know, we research. We ask questions. We weigh it. I think what gives us other people think we're smart. I don't think I'm smart. I just absorb a lot of information. I weigh it against principle. That's all I can do. I don't consider myself intelligent. But when I look at the stuff, I don't even know who the hell to believe anymore. You know,
I really don't. There's a lot of that that we had to, that we dealt with today, actually, with, you know, different, well, are they going to, you know, try to get the vote today? Are they going to postpone it again tomorrow? I know, who else in the chat has heard anything on, or in the callers in the chat, have heard about a lot of that hoopla today, if anyone wants to chime in on that, if they've heard or experienced something today on that. Nobody?
They're quiet tonight.
What was the question?
I didn't hear the question. Sorry, I was working on something, Robert.
But, that's fine. No, just we've heard a lot about, you know, they're going to be, the vote today, you know, for the nomination. Is it going to be postponed tomorrow? Where now they're not going to have they're not going to have the vote again tomorrow. They're going to have to postpone the convention again tomorrow. I know Tex and Rex heard some things about it, and I believe Chris and I did as well, but if there's anyone else of the callers in the chat that heard some of that chatter today?
No.
I've heard it from a number of different places. Besides the places that you've mentioned, it's been in a few tweets and in a few pages and links off of the tweets. That it's not so much speculation. It's looking for confirming sources of why the first ballot wasn't held today, and that's really kind of what's going on. And from a couple of tweets that I saw, and one of them I shared, I think it was at this call or was it at Mark's call in the last one, where Ryan, one of the delegate chairs from the state, did a roll call of the delegates from Colorado. And eight of the 36 delegates, I think it was, voted abstain, meaning, and those were all the Romney delegates. And eight of the 36 voted abstain on polling what they would vote if it was an official first ballot vote from them. We're not hearing what's happening on the other polling. Where's your voting at from the other states? So I have a firm belief that the stall is totally based upon getting a first ballot win for Romney, and they're just not able to produce that. So my firm belief is that we will find the MSMs and Bain News, that's Fox News, will find some other reason to postpone until Wednesday now.
Yeah.
That's my belief and what a lot of people are saying.
Right.
So I'll let somebody else weigh in.
Let me ask you this again. I'm sorry, I was over on the Lawyers for Ron Paul site trying to get caught up because they get a lot of data from their delegates. But you said that Romney delegates, go ahead, say that part again, that they abstained from voting for him?
There are 36 delegates that are from Colorado that are Romney delegates. Okay, they're considered Romney delegates.
Romney on paper, anyway.
Yes.
Right.
Eight of them abstained from they abstained on their vote when they were polled. What's your vote look like for your delegates? Who are they voting for? And the name was Ryan. I know it's not Paul Ryan. It's well, I'm sure one of the state chairs. They polled their delegates, and the vote back was 8 abstained of the 36.
Well, that's fantastic.
Wow.
I mean, because the thing is, if they succeed in keeping other choices off the first ballot, right, and by changing the 5-state rule now to the 8-state rule because Ron Paul has 7 states, then the only choice is to abstain. And when I first mentioned to people about abstaining, you know, the reaction I got is, why would somebody pay to go all the way down there to abstain? Well, they would do it to stop Romney so they could vote for who they really want to vote for, right? So that's why people would abstain.
That's the key here. It's the first ballot. I'm sorry. The first ballot is critical to forcing a broker convention because that first ballot, if no one gets the 1144 on an official ballot roll call, then any state can nominate any person to be on the next ballot. And that's where you get to the open convention or brokered convention, as we're calling it. And that is a party rule. Okay, it's not, I thought a party rule, that part I understand was constitutional. Okay, that's how you can get to an anybody as a nominee. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Romney's got to fail on the first ballot so that we can have an open convention and the delegates can figure out who they think is most likely to win in November. Critical thing is you got to, you know, get the open convention, have Romney fail. But, you know, the more and more we're seeing of the shenanigans they're pulling, they don't look confident. Romney doesn't sound confident. Reince Priebus doesn't sound confident. All these guys who are like insiders, they all seem really irritated and upset with everyone. Because you know what? They don't have it. So now they're calling, you know, delays for the convention. You know, people came here to go to the convention, right? They paid their own money to go to the convention. At a certain point, you actually have to hold the convention, right? You can't delay forever.
I can just see kind of they keep delaying it until the delegates run out of their own money and they have to go home. And then...
That's right.
And then it's all of a sudden, okay, the delegates all left, so we'll count the delegates that are left that we've paid for the hotel for that robbed out of Bain Capital funds for Romney. Yeah, I could actually smell something like that happening.
Took an eye. Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that we're seeing happen today, you know, part of it was the conversation around Ben Swan's interview, his follow-up interview tonight, which was pretty brutal because he was really, you know, like we said earlier, he was pretty soft on Ryan and Romney. But when he came back tonight on the television that Robert was playing, you know, he kind of nailed it because his preliminary or his pre-interview where he was talking about the RNC, you know, doing whatever they can to destroy Ron Paul and prevent a brokered convention, you know, and then boom, boom, boom. And then, you know, Mark Levin, I'm reading a bunch of tweets from Michelle Malkin, and she's, you know, a lot of these people who were, you know, I think drinking the lemonade going, well, you know, Romney's going to win, he's inevitable, so they kind of got on board. But, you know, these are people that we've all followed for years that are pretty staunch conservatives are freaking the flip out over this. Romney wants to be in total control of our lives in a democracy, and I think that one really hurt him. You know, this lawyer, I don't know, you know.
It turns out at a certain point they actually have principles, and now they're realizing, oh, crap, I have principles that I won't compromise.
Yeah.
Well, hey, folks, I've got
that
real
was
quick.
That was the wake-up call. When you know how that those rules came in? That it was Romney's attorney. This is Romney's attorney, not an RNC attorney, right? This is Romney's attorney that walked into the Rules Committee with these things drafted by, already pre-drafted with Romney, okay, and set them in front of the Rules Committee and said, pass these. Now, I don't know why. I'm asserting that's how I believe that the lawyer presented it to the Rules Committee, but we know for a fact that Romney's lawyer, this guy, whatever his name was, you mentioned it, he brought those already drafted into the Rules Committee. All right, so this came from Romney. It did not come from the RNC. So that's why this is so bad. It's so terrible. This is actually the presumptive guy rewriting the rules so that he can capture what so that he can be anointed king. Right? That's what this is about. Michelle Malkin, I mean, go ahead. I hear somebody else want to say something.
I just want to let Sammy live.
Let me jump in here. I just got off the phone with Sarah Palin from a Sarah Palin group where they had mailed out, I don't know, over 1,000 mailers. They are finally starting to come around to join up with us. And they are pissed off. They will be I thought they were going to be calling in to Robert's show, but she will be calling in onto their Tax and Rec show about 10 minutes after 12.
Sammy, you mean they're so pissed off they need to swear? Yeah, you want to call in a Tax and Rec for that.
There you
but
go.
I mean,
well, that's great. Great. And they've, and they've got the Tax and Rec number then. Good.
Yeah, they're, I mean, I've been wondering why these other conservative groups like the Sarah Palin groups have not banded up with us already. And they're coming around, and I talked to this awesome lady for, I don't know, 15 minutes on the phone. I told her what our main goal was to force a broker convention. Then we can worry about the nominee then. But very first thing is we have to force a broker convention. That's the reason you delegates out there, you have to vote your conscience. You cannot shut up. And yes, I'm a newster, and I will never shut up for newster. And I explained to her that's what the radio show was about, newster.
Mm-hmm.
But I said I am not ashamed to say that we will band up with anybody to defeat Mitt Romney. And if Sarah Palin was my candidate, yes, I would vote for her.
Yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with Sarah Palin. Holy crap.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know who she'd choose as her VP, don't you?
Yeah.
Her mentor. Chris? I just read in the... Hello, sorry, gentlemen, ladies. I just read in the chat that Chris has an update on the lawsuit.
Right. I was just over on the lawyers for Ron Paul, and then I went to Richard's Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And 48 minutes ago, our case has, you know, that the judge folded, he wouldn't rule on it. So he basically dismissed it. But Richard was smart enough to do an appellate writ and get it rolling for the appeals court. And 49 minutes ago, our case has survived another day. It is rare for an appellate court to keep a writ 8 days. 96% of appellate writs are denied within 72 hours. So he's saying that they're looking at it seriously. Mm-hmm. Then 8 minutes ago, he says the appellate court has the power to do anything it wants. If we win, the RNC appeal will mean nothing. This one's a little hard to understand. Maybe somebody can help me on this one. 4 minutes ago, the secret for USA Free Press, that's him, followers. Okay, when we filed appellate papers and appellate court took full jurisdiction, we lost absolutely nothing. So I guess, I don't know, you'd have to be a lawyer to understand what he means there. But
what it means is that the decision that comes out of the appellate court will have full weight and standing as it would have come out of that federal judge if the judge had made the decision.
That's kind of what I was going.
They had jurisdiction, meaning that the court can't pronounce on this, so they accepted full jurisdiction. They didn't say you have to go to another court to decide one or more of these issues.
Gotcha. In other words, they're saying it will stay here and be decided here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Decided or rejected.
Right. Well, and the thing is that, you know, it's been a little quiet on the lawsuit, and I haven't had a lot to bring up on it because once it was dismissed, it was, okay, what next? And we knew that he had filed the appellate writ, and that's kind of what pissed the judge off. I don't know if you guys remember that hoopla. Everybody thought, oh, my God, what happened? Well, what happened was, you know, he didn't file in the appeals court like the judge thought he did, which is stupid because the paperwork didn't say an appeal. You don't file an appeal until you've been dismissed or lost the case. And so what happened was he was just prepping for that potential, you know, that 50-50 chance that judge was going to fold. And I've seen a lot of stuff on the judge, you know, everybody, as soon as, you know how it is, people, you know, they blow up and they say stupid things before they understand it. But a lot of people, oh, he's a liberal judge anyway. Oh, Clinton, you know, and they all went off on him. But Richard has never gone off on the judge. He said this was a unheard of case, the way it was filed, the speed that it moved. What he was asking for was a historical environment. And then the judge just was like, oh, crap, I can't handle this. you know, and because it's extremely, you know, the decision that comes out of this case is going to affect all elections. You know what I mean? It'll affect the Democrats and the Republicans, and I think the judges went just freaked out. And Richard has never had anything negative to say about the judge's decision. He just did his thing, you know, and prepared for the, you know, for the dismissal or the win. And the only reason that all the abuse, and we can be mad at the judge, because all the abuse and everything that's going on in RNC right now in Florida is happening because that judge didn't rule. If that judge would have ruled, those delegates would have all had a paper in their hand saying you are free to vote your conscience, and it would have thrown a monkey wrench into the RNC's plans. Well, because we didn't have that judge's ruling behind it, you see the crap the RNC is doing. So Richard is still fighting for us, you know. I mean, and I will never, you know, I heard all kinds of crap about, oh, he didn't know what he was doing, he didn't file right, he didn't get the right info. You know, I've heard all that crap. I've seen a lot of people attack him. And I've always stood behind him. I said, one guy, 300 million people in this country stood up and said, I'm going to take on, you know, organized crime. That was his opinion. And he went out there and did it for free. You know, and that guy deserves, you know, I think everybody should go to his Facebook and like his Facebook and say thank you for what you've done, because he tried and he still hasn't lost and he's still fighting for free, you know, for our voting rights in this country, for our freedom. So anyway, that's my input.
Well, that's
on that.
The heart and soul of a true patriot right there.
Hey,
Chris, thank you for the update.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
I just said thank you for the update.
Okay.
That was huge, Chris. Thanks.
Hey, Robert, I'm going to drop off here tonight, and we'll see you on the Tex and Rex show. God bless you, and thank you for being such an eloquent host.
No, I appreciate that, Sammy. Thank you very much for coming and participating in the show tonight, and I will see you over at Tex and Rex show, which can be found on Blog Talk Radio's Election 2012.
I'm already there. Ha ha.
You beat me to it now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'll be over there shortly after the show. I just have some things I'll have to wrap up when it's over. Maybe get me some bottled water or something. So.
Yeah, and go kiss the wife goodnight.
Yeah, we won't go there. I mean. she's mad at me. But anyway, I digress. But
well,
just
got to
kiss her goodnight.
That was recorded, so you...
Yeah, I know. Well, she'll be like, I can't believe you said she wouldn't do that. But I'll
yeah, she will.
Live on radio at some point. So I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. I was so wrong. No, I will. You know, just, you know, I was doing the show,
yes.
And she came in, and she was, you know, making some noise, and I was like, on the show, and she's like, oh, okay, and I guess she didn't get it. Was I guess I could have said it nicer than, well, I didn't say it, man. Just, you know.
We didn't hear you, so you're lucky.
Well, that's good. Well, I didn't say anything. I just was, you know, kind of like, oh, well, you know, I'm
yeah,
not
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you
we know how you men are.
You women just keep this up. I'm not going to digress on this show for that. That's a good thing about a Blog Talk Radio. It's organic. You'll never know what you're going to hear on there. Especially,
right.
When, you know, on Rex and Tech Show. No, I'm just kidding, guys.
Oh, that's true.
Go ahead,
that's
folks.
Very
we're going
to
be quiet here.
Tex will be reporting from the surf.
Yes, I gave that surf report. That was fun.
Yeah,
just don't make sure you don't get that phone in the water.
Yeah, from the previous title pool.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
But you know
you guys are hilarious.
I remember Sarah Palin saying when they asked her if she would run for. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Speak a little louder. That'd be great.
When she when they lost the election and she was interviewed. And they asked her, would you run for president? And she said, no, unless I see that we don't have a real conservative candidate, then I will think about stepping in. So she's holding true to her words now.
Well, she did make a comment about possible third party. I had the article with me. right now, but maybe someone can refer more to it. But I've seen something of that nature. And if you think about it, if Romney does get the nomination, then there isn't going to be a conservative running, because Obama's certainly not a conservative.
Right,
and
right.
Romney's not a conservative, so maybe, you know, Sarah Palin, or as someone suggested earlier, she could possibly be a kingmaker as well.
Right.
I really believe, guys, I really believe that they realize they've stepped in it. And, you know, they tried that whole psychological ploy on people through the whole primary, just like that guy that called in last night. Well, after it's all said and done and after Romney wins, who are you going to vote for? That crap. You know,
right.
Vote, just like
yeah.
that Josh Hawley show that you played earlier, that clip
mm-hmm.
I gave you. You know, he's
right.
going, bull crap. My vote is only wasted if I vote for somebody that does not, you know, ride my principles. And I think people are finally
exactly.
putting their foot down. And I think that the RNC and Romney and all his people are going, oh, crap, there could be millions of people that are going to walk away and vote for whoever. Johnson, Mickey Mouse, Sarah Palin, Newt, write-in, you know, whatever. But I believe that people are like, McCain was one thing. With Sarah Palin on the side, that was palatable. Romney is like the biggest insult to everything we believe in our soul. Anybody who
it's
has,
like drinking salt water.
Yeah. Oh,
yep.
yeah. It's terrible. Oh, that'll make you puke.
It's
you
like
know?
Drinking
yeah,
salt water and then pouring it
exactly.
on your wounds.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think they realize that they could lose this thing by a walkout, and they're freaking out.
Let them freak out. They need it.
Yeah.
Well, with that, folks, I must defer this over to the Tex and Rex show, and which will be live in the next couple of minutes. And I'd like to take this time to thank everyone who came into the chat, thank all the callers and everyone for your participation tonight. And if you listened to this on the archive later on, folks, thank you for coming in. And once again, I ask that if you like the show, then please follow Sammy's show and Rex's show and this show just by clicking that little follow button on the home pages under the icons of each individual person's show. And we appreciate that. So wind things down. Well, Harriet, yeah, if you could bring that up on Tex and Rex, that'd be great.
Yeah.
We're just winding some things down here before the show closes out
okay.
for people. So yeah, we'll see on Tex and Rex.
Robert, could you restate the phone number? The Tex and Rex.
The Tex and Rex phone number. Let's
just
see.
I got it right here.
Yeah,
right,
go ahead.
646-649-1013.
Thank you.
Great, and you can also find them on Blog Talk Radio. Go to the category page and look at Election 2012.
Right.
And we will see you there, folks. And please enjoy this relaxing music to calm us a little bit before we go to the Tex and Rex show.
Okay.
Thanks, Robert. Thanks a lot, Robert.
Yeah.